Hi, I'm Jonathan Bates from, and I have a musical project called Big Black Delta.
So let's circle back to, because I went to grad school in Boston. I was born in New York. I went to grad school at Boston University. But I know a lot of people from Berkeley. And Berkeley is, and I'm not talking Berkeley, California near me, Berkeley is like a jazz school.
It was weird. I mean, when I got there, because that was all I was good at in high school, I was one of those shredder guys, you know what I mean?
Right,
listening
right.
to prog music and stuff. And it was jazz and counterpoint, you know, and studying, you know, basically what Bach invented, or what everybody agrees that Bach invented, which is, you know, four note counterpoint, which most Western music's based off of. And the BU kids always had the good booze and drugs. All the Berkeley kids were broke.
I was in grad school in advertising and marketing, so I didn't have that many. And I was only, you know, I only had a year and a half. So many artists, and there's a lot of people that are in, I'm not using rock, I'm using rock and roll as a thing, right? So we're not going to go into EDM or rock and roll or synth pop or any, it's all the same to me. But so many people who've gone to Berkeley haven't had jazz careers, but the things that they've learned there have informed things like sense of rhythm. You know, so like the fact that you have two drummers on stage, the fact that you've arranged your music the way you've arranged it, do you think Berkeley got some of that into your head?
No, I don't know. Well, yeah, Berkeley taught me, besides an incredible amount of technical stuff, what it taught me is what not to be. I have a love-hate relationship with art schools in general, because it's, you can't teach somebody that. You can't teach them to jump and take a chance. You can show them what they've done before, what people have done before. You can show them how to be teachers. And I just remember after about 2 or 3 years of being there, like looking at myself and being like, wait, what is it that you're supposed to be doing? You know, and that's, do you want to be a teacher? And that, you know, I'm not good at that. Do you want to be just a guitar player? And, you know, no, there's just more to life, at least for me. And so I had to, you know, it was the scariest thing possible, but it also helped that, you know, the stuff that you were saying, the in between the lines between Boston and LA, I had a friend that flew me out to LA to record me. And at the time there was these things called production deals, you know what I mean? Like where somebody would record a demo, and if you got signed, when people got signed, that they would, you know what I mean? So I went out there, hung out, and I met a girl, and that was it. I just was like, I can stay here, and I never went back. And yeah. But she, you know, she was a reason, and it was also a catalyst for me to be like, this is what you wanted to do, so it's time to sink or swim. And you know, that's what I was doing was Melodrone at that time, which was like, you know, again, kind of a solo thing. I was just doing shit with a loop machine, and you know, so living on couches for a year, and then I got my first deal, you know.
So there were 10 years, I believe, of Melodrone, right?
Yeah.
You know, the in between Melodrone to Big Black Delta, what were the moments there?
When you're young and naive, you assume, oh, I've reached this point.
It's going to be there forever.
I'm at least going to be here, you know what I mean? And between Melodrone and Big Black Delta, it was the universe really humbling the shit out of me, man. Because, you know, I went from, I remember one of the most profound moments in my life was I had just played like a sold out show in LA about 8 months earlier. And at this point I had to start delivering gear for like this high end audio company, which, you know, is not a bad gig. You're just
the worst.
Right. And I show up to this, you know, $1 million house up in Mulholland Drive. And I opened the door, and there's like this guy who I'd known to be one of my biggest fans, and he was just
delivering the equipment,
right?
Oh,
and, so he looks at me and he's like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And it was just like, "Here's your $30,000 compressor, man. I hope you enjoy it." And he was like, "Jesus!" And he was more disappointed than I was, and I was just like, "Damn, that's fucked."
And that wakes you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it was great. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because like, to me, a really good artist doesn't give a shit. You know, it doesn't worry about how they're perceived or any of this stuff. Because if you do, you inadvertently fuck yourself over. You know what I mean? And so, like, having that beat out of me, like, I'm not embarrassed anymore. You know, I had several other moments like that where it was just like, weren't you supposed to be something over and over and over again? And it was like, that's the universe talking to me. You know what I mean? Telling me that, like, It's not about you, which is honestly the biggest rule I think that you're going to learn when you pass from this life onto whatever you think is going to be next, is that it's not about you and that that's okay. You know, and there's such freedom when you really accept that. You become a kinder person because you're no longer taking offense to everything. You're more forgiving. You know, I'm not saying that I'm like that all the time, but it's the few little peaks that I've seen from those lessons. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Now, a secondhand laptop. Mm-hmm. Got Big Black Delta started again, right?
Yeah. So, you know, a buddy of mine, Alessandro, who's now back in Nine Inch Nails, but he'd been in Nine Inch Nails for a long time. And then that project kind of died down. So he, you know, had time off and a long time off. So, you know, he was just hanging out, like, and we were talking about comics and video games and all this other stuff. And he's a modular electronic synthesis guru, so to speak. And up to that point, I had a Pro Tools rig, which is like the size of that TV, you know, just mm-hmm. this fridge and all this shit. And then, you know, I bought into the whole, you got to have a nice mic pre, you got to have this, you got to have that. And he was just like, you know, I never had a laptop really. And he was like, why don't you just try this and try Logic, which is like, you know. And so I just bought it off of him. And it was just this new thing. It's this democratization of music where I was making shit in bed while my girlfriend was asleep next to me. You know what I mean? And you know, it was just like, I can do this anywhere. And I did. I would go out in the middle of a field in the middle of the night and do something. You know what I mean? And that is what I feel like people want to hear, are capturing moments like that as opposed to my production, because anybody can put a nice plug-in in and make something sound sweet. And, you know, anybody can do that now with GarageBand or even on your iPhone. You know what I mean? But if you can capture a simple moment and it's honest, it's just the coolest fucking thing on earth, because people react and then all of a sudden there's this other conversation happening that's not based on words, you know.
But let's talk business. Then again, there's also being smart from all the learning. 116,000 views already for Side of the Road. The bands and the projects that have really been self-sustaining are willing to jump into the, I always talk about that, I jump into the deep end of the swimming pool and there's no water in there, and I'm aware there's no water in there, but somewhere before I hit bottom, someone will take a pitcher and pour just enough water so I don't kill myself. And you're taking what this new thing you're doing, and you're making sure it gets out there in every way, shape, or form, and you're using, in as much as you're using modern technology on your computer, there's a lot of modern technology behind making sure the music gets to people too.
You know, Alessandro and I would get together and talk about, you know, how to reach people. And it, you know, the core of everything is if you make the best shit you can, that itself is the selling point, and you don't need to make a selling point.
Right.
But now, if you are you're not a dick about it, you can, you know, if you get people's emails, you can reach people, and you don't have to like hand out flyers or beg people to check your shit out. You know, they have that opportunity if they want it, you know. And that's all I want to do, is put it out if you want to see it, but I don't want to put it in your face. Do you know what I mean? Because I hate that, and you know, I think the advertising has gone way overboard probably about 50 years ago.
I had Anthony, otherwise known as now, bom, 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 as I say it. I think Anthony was on, I could go look on my website, but I think he was on 4 or 5 years ago already. You know, when he made his I love the 70s, 80s album. And we looked at each other and he kind of looked, he said, you know, he said, I'm playing big shows, but I don't think my time has come yet. But now we'll be cynical. Good timing.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Good timing for what you're doing?
You know what I think is happening is that music needs to be simpler now. And it's that's why I think a lot of people like hip-hop, and they like Depeche Mode, and they like Kraftwerk, is that there's not 17 guitars layered upon, like, you know, a bunch of drums and all this other crazy shit. That it's a bit, there's, you know, every great piece of art in my mind has more negative space in it than positive space. And you cannot appreciate what's in the picture if it's cluttered with shit. So, like, I think that that's what's happening now. And going back to the laptop is that, you know, again, anybody can make amazing sounding music now. And most people when they do, when they sit down, they just layer and layer and layer because, you know, that's what you do. But if you view it in the same way you eat food, you don't eat spaghetti and apple pie at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what I think is happening now, is that people, well, maybe it's always been like this. It's, you know, if you have a good song, which again, has for me, has to be simple, and you dress it simply, people will buy it, you know?
I have to tell you that I tweeted when I first got the album, I said, not only did I just get a great record, but I got a great label. Master of Baits is definitely, if I'm going to pick a label title that I want to be, and I got on the air and I said, and by the way, that's on Master of Baits. I was like, that was you?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
That was so much fun.
My manager and I were talking about how to go about putting this out, because I was at first like, hey, fuck it. Let's just get, you know, we'll put the MP3s out for free. And if people want to, you know, buy the record, they can. And so we did that for a while, and it was like, so let's start a label, and like, let's just do this our fucking selves, you know? And I was like, great, I know what we're gonna call it, because I was watching He-Man that day, and it was like, it's perfect, Masters of Baits. And I was like, can we put my head fucking He-Man on top of the cat and everything? And it just, you know, it chooses you.
The live show, you've made a conscious decision to make it a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, That's
and you don't have to.
No, well, to me, I mean, that's what Melodrone taught me. After 10 years of playing every shithole on this side of the planet and everything in between, and you know, with a you know, an analog, typical band setting, is I've been to a couple shows. Let's just put it that way.
A few.
Right.
You and me both.
And
yes.
So, you know, if someone's going to be cool enough to stand somewhere, I mean, especially now today, if this was like 20 years ago, maybe it'd be different, but today, to have someone's attention for 45 minutes, you know, is quite a gift. It's
yes.
Because I mean, the amount of data all of us are inundated with by 10 a.m. is light years beyond what somebody 50, 60 years ago had to deal with in the same amount of time. So to me, if you're going to be cool enough to give me a chance, I you know, and then I believe you hear what you see, like Bobby Darin said, you know what I mean? Like, so it was just like putting all this shit together and ultimately being like, if I was standing here looking at this asshole, what would make me go like, all right, you know what I mean? Like that's just it, you know, because I really believe that nobody really talks about this, but attention is such a commodity now, because, you know, our ability to put out information is exponentially growing, but us as human beings are still evolving at, you know, at a snail's pace compared to that. So I'm so thankful that somebody would give me a chance, that I want to make sure that you're having a good time. So even if you're like, fuck music, those lights are cool, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing, because at least you walk away with like, he didn't waste my time.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between by other artists. And what I do is, it's 40 minutes, unheard of, by the way, of solid music with no jingles, no interruptions, no nothing.